a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I'll call the taxation committee together, being we have Mr. Kirkaby now. So, Senator Kirkaby, good morning, and welcome to everyone who's listening on the Internet. And a reminder to turn off your cell phones, and the secretary will call the roll.
Following Senators Ewing.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Amdahl.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Welke.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
There is a quorum.
There is a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Amdahl. Second by I'll get your name straight yet. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Minutes are so approved. Reminder to everyone that's going to testify today to sign in, and that if you have handouts, we'll distribute them through the pages. At this time, I'll have the page. Why don't you come forward and introduce yourself, and you can just speak at the microphone. That way, everyone can hear you and tell us your name and where you're from and what you plan to do after high school.
I'm Christian Witt. I'm from Hartford, near Sioux Falls, and I plan to go to SDSU for exercise science.
Great. Thank you. Welcome. Hope you're having a good time. just a reminder that the questions of the committee will be addressed to the chair. And with that, we'll start off with Senate Bill number 50. And come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Doug Schenkel, South Dakota Department of Revenue, speaking for Senate Bill 50. And, Mr. Chair, before I begin, there will be an amendment.
Yep, why don't we distribute that? We'll move and second. That way we can speak to the bill and the amendment at the same time.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Do I have a... Oh, I'll wait for everyone to get it and let them read it. Everyone have time to review the amendment? Can I have a motion to move this amendment in a second, and then we can talk to the bill and the amendment at the same time, and then we'll act later on the amendment? Motion by Monroe, second by...
Chairman, I'll second.
Seconded by Senator Ewing. All right. We have the amendment moved and seconded, so we please proceed there, Mr. Schenkel, and we'll talk to the bill and the amendment both at the same time.
All right. Thank you. excuse me. Senate Bill 50, what it is designed to do is to allow the department to share lists of taxpayers with other state agencies. What that allows the other agencies to do is to more effectively carry out their duties, more efficiently carry out their duties. Okay. Nothing is allowed to be passed out unless it is a written request is received by the agency head. Okay, and that needs to be directly to the Secretary of Revenue. And with what the Secretary of Revenue needs to do is to verify that, yes, this is information that is strictly for the duties of the other agency, and also needs to make sure that it is anything that is provided in the list is confidential information. Okay. And the amendment of the bill, what that does for us is that explains exactly what we could provide to the other agencies. And the only thing that would be allowed to be provided to other agencies is the person's name and address and business name. No return information, no information, no personal information, no social security numbers, no gross receipts, nothing about the amounts of tax paid. Nothing can be shared with this list. It's strictly the name of the business, the owner's name, and the address of the business. Okay. Why is that important? Well, some examples would be the Department of Health, for example, may contact us and say, look, what we'd like to do is to verify that we're inspecting all of the restaurants that are licensed in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for example. And for health reasons, they want to make sure that they've talked and that they're inspecting all of them. So they're going to contact us, say, who do you have licensed as a restaurant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? We could provide that list to them, the name of the business, the address, and that's all. And then they could more efficiently go check to make sure that those businesses are being inspected. Another example would be the Department of Labor and Regulation. They administer the unemployment insurance tax. Well, they may contact us and say, hey, can I get a list of all the sales tax licenses in Winter, South Dakota? With this bill, we could provide that list to them, strictly, again, the names of the business and the address, and they could cross-reference to make sure that any of those businesses who need to are in line with their laws and paying the unemployment insurance taxes. Okay. Another example may be public safety, the fire marshal. They could request a list of anyone from us who has a sales tax license for a fireworks stand. They need to be licensed with the fire marshal as well. It's just good to be able to do some cross-reference there. Of course, there's many other agencies who may be allowed to request information for this. Okay. So that's what the bill allows us to do. If an agency needs some information, it allows us to give them limited information, mind you, but some information. Okay. What doesn't it do? Well, it doesn't eliminate the need for us to make sure that any list that we provide is actually needed and going to be used for official business only. We would have to verify that. It doesn't allow us to share any type of confidential information with any other agency. Okay, the department will tend to err on the side of caution if we're not sure what the request is for, if we're not positive that it's going to be for official state agency duty, we're not going to give them the information. Okay. excuse me. And there's a law, SDCL 10-1-28.2, and that's going to apply to the agencies who receive this information. It means that if they share the information with anyone, it would be a Class 2 misdemeanor. So once we provide that information to that other agency, that's where it has to stop. They can't sell the information, share the information with anybody else. That's where it has to end, right there. One thing that we stress, that is stressed throughout state government, is trying to work more efficiently. And the department wants to work more efficiently, as do all state agencies. And if by sharing this limited information with another state agency, if that helps them do their duties in a more efficient manner, well, that's better for all of us. And that's what this will do. It's going to allow other state agencies to work more efficiently and more effectively, and we're all after that. As a department, we do, and we are able to receive some information from other state agencies, and this would allow us to actually return some of the favor there, too, a little bit. I guess my feeling is if the information is available within state government and it's not sensitive, confidential information, which nothing that we would provide would be, I see no reason why we shouldn't be able to share that with another agency so that they could do their business. The other day in this committee, it was brought up that we need to try and monitor and look for businesses who may not be following the letter of the law. And how do we find those businesses? Well, it would make sense to me that if we have a way within state government to provide some information that would help other agencies make sure that everyone is following the letter of the law. Again, non-confidential information, that we should share that information with those other agencies in to make things more efficient in all state government. With that, any questions at this point? Would you have to testify first?
Turn my microphone on. We'll have the other testifiers come forward, and then we'll do questions at the end. So, yes, sir.
Point of order, are we still in the amendment?
We're going to do address that way that everybody can talk to the amendment and the bill, and then when everybody's done, then we move the amendment.
Thank you.
Into the, what is the portion of it? The consideration of bill number. It's down there later on after we get through all the testimony. So, then we can make a decision on whether or not we want to approve the amendment or not, and then go forward. So that way, everybody has a chance to talk to the amendment too. So, is there any other proponent testimony out there? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. I rise as a a tepid proponent to this bill. When we first saw the draft of this bill, we had some concerns because we saw the language in the original bill as being fairly loose. It looked to us, our read on the bill was that it looked as though other agencies could request significant amounts of especially tax information from the Department of Revenue because there really didn't seem to be many sideboards in terms of what other agencies could request. And so if you're in the communications world of today, which is a very competitive industry, it looked as though you could request, the agency could request sales and use tax records, 911 surcharge information, which potentially is some very significant and very proprietary information that to quote a good lobby friend of mine, even though the bill says the information is supposed to be held confidentially, you don't have to worry about me keeping the secret. It's everybody else that I tell. And so that raised some significant levels of concerns in terms of the original language. Now, in the conversations that we had with Mr. Schenkel and the department prior to today, the amendment that has come out of that discussion, I think, goes a long way towards alleviating most of our concerns. I would suggest to the committee, if I could, Mr. Chairman, making a small change in the amendment, changing the word may to shall. I think that raises the sideboards even higher, because then I think it puts a stronger set of language into statute that will potentially preclude the exchange of any information beyond just name, address, and business owner information. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony for House or for Senate Bill 50? One last call for proponent testimony for Senate Bill 50. Seeing none, we will go into opponent testimony. Anybody opposed to Senate Bill 50? Please come forward. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Brisch, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Innkeepers Association. While we are sympathetic and we understand certainly what the Department of Revenue would like to do here to create some efficiencies, we have some concerns with this and even with the amendment in there have some concerns. The understanding is that it's only business, the person's name and address, business name, person's name and address that would be shared. But what we just heard from the Department of Revenue is that if somebody asks for certain information, say for the hotels in winter, they would ask for a certain SIC code, so we only get the hotels in winter. But now we have the SIC codes are released. Could they also ask for information like we only want the SIC codes for hotels and winters that have gross revenue last year of over $1 million? I mean, even though the department isn't releasing numbers, does this open the door for sharing of more information than what we're really seeing here? Those are just some questions that we have here. And, you know, once that safe is open and it's shared, even with the confidentiality regulation, it's still out of the safe. So with that, at this point, we would just speak in opposition to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other opponent testimony? Please come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Thomas King, also members of the board, Thomas King, and I represent the King's Inn Hotel and Conference Center.
Okay.
We're opposed to the bill on its face as simply being unnecessary. It adds, apparently to us, another layer of bureaucracy, and that there are any number of ways that anyone can get this exact information. We don't need a law to obtain this information. You can get most of it on the internet. And it appears to us that also that, as Michelle had said, that there is the potential for abuse of however minor, but and however unintended, but the potential is there. And finally, I think that Mr. Schenkel, when you spoke that they're looking for those not following the letter of the law, I'm thinking they're looking to manufacture a problem that isn't a massive problem. If it were a massive problem, then there'd be some greater outcry than there seems to be. So we oppose it on those grounds, and I'll stand by for your questions.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for coming in this morning. Any further opposition testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retail Association. Well, unlike my friend Mr. Dean, who was a tepid proponent of the bill, I will be a tepid opponent. I'm not sure. We used to have commentators up here. Maybe we need to go back to that those days. I did have a chance to talk with the secretary this morning, and Mr. Schenkel and I have been emailing back and forth here over the last couple of days. I do need to sign in, Mr. Chairman. I'll do that as soon as I'm done here. I would like to suggest, and I have to the department, to see the bill further amended. I appreciate the language that they brought to you this morning. That alleviates some of our concerns. I don't want to belabor what was just said, but the necessity of the legislation is one thing. But I do think it should be further amended to say that any list or document shall be stamped confidential. Obviously, the intent of the bill, as it says in there, is the information is just that, it's confidential. But I think there's always a propensity when you have list of information that individuals may just choose to share that. If it's stamped confidential, that propensity might just be reduced maybe just a little bit further. And I think at least it gives just one more safeguard in this process. I mean, look, these are business people. That information is important to them. I would question whether or not you've got a flurry of restaurants or hotels or other businesses that don't have their food inspection license with the Department of Health. I would question those that don't have their unemployment filed with the Department of Labor. But I understand this desire for information. But I think anytime you have a desire for information, there's also the urgency that maybe that information might end up into the wrong hands. So I'd at least like to see the bill further amended to say that the list shall be stamped confidential. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Any further opposition testimony? One last call for opposition testimony. Seeing none, Mr. Schenkel, would you like a chance to rebut anything that was said this morning? Or
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Doug Schenkel, Department of Revenue again. Mr. Lyons just came up and spoke about a further amendment of the bill. As the bill specifically states, that it does say right in the last line of the bill that any information here shall be held confidential. As a matter of practice, we would mark it as such anyway. As far as amending it to say that, I guess I would have no problem with that, because we would do that as a matter of practice anyway. As far as changing the may to shall, certainly no problems with that. We're not out here asking for a lot. We're not asking to give any type of confidential information away. We do not want to do that. The department does not do that in any respect. Any business who our secretary, for example, may contact the department and ask for return information, confidential information. We would not share that information with that person without explicit permission from the owners of the business themselves. We're very careful about sharing the confidential information. We will not, and nothing in this bill allows us to share any confidential information. Anything that would be shared here is information that as one opponent said, could probably be found in other areas. But if we can make it more efficient so that they don't have to go looking for that information in other areas, let's do that. It's better for everyone and for us to be able to do that.
Thank you. At this time, I will move into the question phase of things, and I would assume that you can just remain seated there,
sure,
Mr. Schenkel. And we will start with questions of the department. And Mr. Omdahl, you want to start?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schenkel, I have a problem with the government keeping lists. I guess that word list really bothers me. J. Edgar Hoover kept lists. You know, I'm not comparing it to J. Edgar Hoover, but, you know, I do have a problem with that. And also on the confidentiality, you know, you put something in confidential, and we know the breaches that have happened in government with confidentiality. I have a real concern with that. I originally was going to support this, but I...
Mr. Omdahl, before I interrupt, that's more of into our commentary portion.
Okay.
Do you have a specific question for Mr. Schenkel?
Yeah, you know, will these lists eventually evolve into something more? I mean, that's kind of my question, I guess. So,
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. The bill does not allow that to evolve into anything more. The bill and the amendment basically says this is what you can provide, nothing more. It cannot evolve into anything more than that.
Further comment or further questions, Senator?
No.
Okay. Senator Monroe, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug, I was just wondering, I'm seeing too many of the right people on both sides of the bill, So I got to find out what brought this bill on in the first place. Was it necessity because of a situation that has occurred already, or was it because somebody thought that the computer would work like a lot better if we could put this, click on this thing over here, than just print all these lists out? I guess necessity or curiosity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Schenkel.
Mr. Chair, thank you. The reason for the bill is to allow us to share non-confidential information with other state agencies. From time to time, they will ask for various information similar to what we've mentioned here in the testimony, and we're not allowed to give them that. So when they make the request, at this point we have to say no. I'm sorry, we can't provide that information to you. This just allows us to say, sure, you tell us exactly why you need this information, what you're going to do with it, and if if it's deemed necessary to carry out their duties, then it can be provided.
Thank you. Senator Wilkie.
I guess I have a quick question. You know, we had, Mr. King had made a comment that this was unnecessary because the information's already out there, and yet the people that are opposed to it don't want you to have the information that's already out there. It kind of seems to me that what you're trying to do is just make it quicker and more efficient to get the information that you'd have to get, you could get, if you just worked a little harder to get. Am I wrong or right on that?
Mr. Chair,
Mr. That is
our intention. We're trying to make things more efficient, which is, in my book, is a win for everyone.
Further questions of Mr. Schenkel? Is there any other questions for any member who testified? You go ahead, Mr. Senator Wilkie.
Maybe Mr. King could follow up with that too later, but I just, you know, need some clarification on that. You know, the information's already out there. Why are we opposed to sharing it then if, you know, we can already get that information?
Go ahead if you'd like.
Sure. Mr. Wilkie, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I see no reason to not. Senator Wilkie, I apologize, but I see no reason to not provide those that information.
Thank you. Is there any further questions for Mr. Schenkel while he's before us? Do you want to ask your question to Mr. King? Senator Wilkie?
I guess I would like to have
Mr. King, would you come forward?
Thank you.
And for the record, would you just restate your name and who you're testifying on behalf?
Yes. My name is Thomas King, and I'm with the King's Inn Hotel and Conference Center.
Thank you. Mr. Senator Wilson,
yes, Senator.
Please proceed.
Yes. I guess I'm just asking for you to clarify what you said, because you said that this is readily available information that they could get anyway, so why are we opposed to making it, you know, easier for them to share it?
First, I don't think that it makes it any easier to get the information at all. They have to go through official channels to get the information, and easier. If you have to get onto your computer and you type in the business name, the domain name, anything at all, it's going to pop up. I mean, you can't hardly hide your shoe size without it being found on the internet. The thing that can't be found is the SIC codes. That is one of those things that I don't think should be made available. But as far as ease, I don't think it would be any easier than getting it from another source. And again, I think that it's in manufacturing a problem that doesn't exist. Our government and our government agencies should not be a clearinghouse for obtaining information, even through other government agencies.
Proceed, Senator.
Can you explain the SIC code? I guess I'm not familiar with that.
Well, Michelle would have to. She would have to get further into the SIC codes. It's just with the Department of Revenue. It's their code that identifies the business. If you want, it's deeper than that.
It's kind of a national. I think SIC codes are pretty nationwide, and we use. It's just a way of classification of businesses. So restaurants have their own classifications. Farming has its own classification. It's just a coding system. So when you're dealing with large amounts of information, you can type in that code and get a listing of businesses.
There you go.
Any further questions for Mr. King while he's before us?
Thank you.
Do any of the other committee members have questions for anyone in the audience? Then I guess I'll have a question for Mr. Schenkel. I should have did this while you were here, so you don't have to keep coming back and forth. But in your opening statements, you talked about the Department of Health, Labor, Safety. Would the Department of Education need this information? Would the Department of Tourism need this information? I'm just curious as to why you listed three specific departments right now on a state government. Would it not be easier to maybe define the agencies that would need this information? I don't foresee why the Department of Education would want this information.
Sure. Doug Schenkel, Department of Revenue again. And at this point, could I tell you exactly who would be requesting this, any type of information from us? No, may change. In the future, it may be a different department who is looking for some information. So can I specifically say this particular agency? Well, no, because we don't know. But what this bill does, though, is it makes sure that the secretary verifies that, yes, this information is important to carry out that agency's specific duties. Just for Department of Education to come in and request a list of whatever it may be, no, if without specific reasoning, it would not be shared.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah, proceed. Senator Welke.
Well, the SIC code seems to be the big issue. Would that be something that you would be sharing with these people that ask for information?
Mr. Chairman?
SIC code?
Absolutely not. No. As the amendment's going to state, it's strictly name and address of business. That's it.
Thank you. All right. At this time, we will move into committee discussion. Other comments from the committee? We close this portion to questions, and now we just for the new member, we'll just discuss this issue before Senate Bill 50 before us. Senator Omdahl, I kind of cut you off earlier. Would you like to follow up with your line of commenting?
Well, it's just the confidentiality thing. It's like a secret. A secret is no more than telling one person at a time. I guess looking at this thing, I would have to oppose it because I don't like the idea of passing lists. That kind of bothers me. So that's all I got to say on it, I guess.
Are there further comments or discussion from this? Senator? Yes. Senator. Oh, yeah. And then I see Mr. Crook or Senator Crook would be first. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I was first submitted this bill, I think we all want efficiency and cooperation within agencies or certainly inner workings of any government, but seeking the cooperation, the efficiency, I just have to believe that it was certainly intended to be a good open government measure. However, I got to believe that we currently share this information right now, or more importantly, I just did not have that warm, fuzzy feeling yet or given me that compelling reason to support the passage, even with an amendment on Senate Bill 50. And, Mr. Chairman, that is my short, sweet comments.
Thank you. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had discomfort with it until the amendment. And with the further discussion of if we could change the may to shall, and even to make it more clear, add the statement that any list shall be stamped confidential, I don't have a lot of heartburn with it. If it'll, make life easier within the departments to share the, especially with the simplicity of it, it's just name and address. I don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. I'm going to have staff explain some logistics of the may and shall.
Dealing with the may only and may not, we believe in our drafting manual, on page 24 of our drafting manual, that's a stronger prohibition than shall only or shall not. Shall not only negates the obligation to do that. Like if a child asks a mom, may I go outside and play? And the mom says, you shall not. Well, they were told not to. They shouldn't go outside and play, but they still can. We believe that may not denies the obligation and the permission. And we routinely change those in form and style. When we look at old statutes that are 50, 60 years old, and if we see a shall only or a shall not, you'll quite often see them in drafts of older language that we change them to may not and may only, because that denies the obligation and the permission to do those things.
Thank you, Fred. Senator Ewing.
Sorry, to me, shall is very definite. I mean, it's explains it in its entirety. Where may just seems to be loose to me. As far as I don't know, it seems like in my past with legal documents, may was always a scary word. Shall was definite.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. But I think you need to take in the sense of a shall or a may with a negative. And, you know, just like the Ten Commandments, a person shall not steal, but people go out and do it anyway. May not steal denies the ability to do it, and also the permission to do it. And, you know, you can always visit with Reuben, who's our parliamentarian, as well as our wordsmith, and we strongly would argue that, and we've actually had a bill in the past that kind of described what shall not and may not and shall may allow. So routinely you'll see us change may not to shall not. But you actually have the final decision in whatever way you go. But in the future, if we ran across this bill, if we're doing something else to it, we would change the form and style of that at some future point.
Comments, Senator Monroe.
I can clear that up. May means two things. If you got a person on the cliff, they may or may not fall off the cliff. That's the possibility. If a child is asking, may I go outside, that's asking for permission. So that's a definite. And what he's saying is that shall is derived from the word should. And so, actually, Fred's right. And we're wrong.
How about more comments retaining to the Senate Bill 50, and we'll move away from the pronouns or whatever you want to call them. So, Mr. Welke, do you have any comments you'd like to make? Or you look like you do. That's why you don't have to if you don't want to. So,
well, I'm kind of torn. I mean, I can understand where we're at with this. On the one hand, you know, we really do want to make government more efficient, make sure everybody's doing the things that they should be doing and shall be doing or may be doing or whatever. But but on the other hand, we're concerned about giving up information that's readily available. So I guess I'm not opposed to the concept of trying to make the government more efficient and do this. But, you know, I can understand a little bit about where you guys are coming from. So I'm kind of torn on it. So
thank you, Senator. At this time, I'm going to close to discussion purposes, and we have an amendment before us, and it's been moved and seconded. So, just call for a roll call vote or voice vote. Okay, all those in favor of moving Amendment 50 FA, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Senate Bill 50 has been amended. Are there any additional amendments to Senate Bill 50 before we move forward? Seeing none, do I have a motion to deal with Senate Bill 50? So I need a do pass, do not pass, do something.
Do not pass.
I have a motion to do not pass Senate Bill 50. Is there a second?
Second.
Second? Okay. Senator Auten moves that we defer Senate Bill 50. It's a do not pass. It's a motion to defer to the 41st day.
No.
Do that pass? Okay. Okay. Yes.
Substitute motion.
Substitute motion by Senator Kirkaby.
Send Senate Bill 50 to the 41st legislative day.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
Second.
I have a motion to the 41st day, a second by Monroe. I have the secretary call the roll.
Ewing?
No.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Umdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Welke?
No.
Monroe?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Five yes, two no.
The motion has passed that Senate Bill 50 is sent to the 41st day. With that, we will move into testimony on Senate Bill 54. Yeah, I know. Good morning, Mr. Wiest.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Wiest, Department of Revenue, here to visit a little bit about Senate Bill 54. Senate Bill 54 is what we call around the halls of the legislature our annual IRS bill. And here's what I mean by that. In our code, in various places, we have sections that refer to the Internal Revenue Code for purposes of figuring out individual incomes for the citizens of our state to figure out whether they qualify for certain tax breaks and so forth, such as perhaps a property tax freeze on the value of their home if they're elderly and on a fixed income and so forth. Every year we come into this body and request that the IRS code be updated, and the reason that is, obviously, is we want to figure out what the person is making under the current Internal Revenue Service code, not the Internal Revenue Service code of 10 years ago, because nobody can remember what the one 10 years ago said one way or the other. So what we're aiming to do here today in Senate Bill 54 is to simply update the Internal Revenue Code to the most recent one as of January 1, 2013, and we do that in a number of sections, and I stand by for any questions. I hope the committee supports our efforts in Senate Bill 54. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 54? Last call, proponent testimony for Senate Bill 54. Any opponent testimony for Senate Bill 54? Any opposition for Senate Bill 54? Seeing none, we will move into committee questions. Any questions for the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I can say and or action on Senate Bill 54.
Okay. Oh, and or action. All right.
Do pass.
We have a motion do pass on Senate Bill 54 by Kirkaby, seconded by Monroe. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Ewing. Kirkaby?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Wilkie?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
It is unanimous. Seven.
Do I have a motion for consent?
You do.
Motion by Kirkaby to move this bill to the consent calendar, seconded by Wilkie. All those in favor will vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Seeing none, Senate Bill 54 is moved to the consent calendar. At this time, yes, Mr. Wiest, would you come forward? Mr. Wiest has some information to provide us on last week's discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. A couple of brief things. First off, you should all be getting in your mailbox our Department of Revenue annual report. This is what it looks like. It has all of our statistics on sales tax collections, use tax collections, the different types of taxes that the Department of Revenue deals with, also discussion of lottery stuff, gaming stuff, property tax information, and so forth. And if you ever have any questions, by all means, grab us, and we'll try to help you out and answer those. During our meeting last week, there was a request of the committee to provide some information to the committee on tax collection agreements. If you recall, we had a brief discussion about tax collection agreements that the state of South Dakota has with tribes pursuant to SDCL Chapter 10-12A of our code, which permits us to work with tribes in the area of taxation. And I believe it was the chairman wondered what particular tribes we have agreements with. And what I did is I put together a list of the various tribes that we have tax collection agreements with, what taxes are covered under the agreements, just for the benefit of the committee. As I indicated during our discussion last week, tax collection agreements, in our view, are beneficial to, let me back up a second. As we know, there are times in Indian country when the state can tax and times when the tribe can tax. And what we try to do is to work together, the state and the tribe, to manage those taxes. So we believe the tax collection agreement is beneficial not only for the tribe, for the state, but also for the sellers of goods and also the buyers of goods, because it clears up a lot of questions. And with that, it's a pretty simple and straightforward list. You can look at the various tribes in our state. How we do it is the percentages that we split the revenues between the state and the tribe vary depending on the various factors for each particular tribe. It's kind of a tribe-by-tribe negotiation. We've visited a lot with the Indian tribes over probably the last 10 years that I've been working on tax collection agreements, and hopefully we've solved a fair number of problems. So in any event, this is the list that the committee requested last week, and I stand by for any questions if anyone has any.
I guess, Mr. Weiss, I'll make a few comments, and I'll stand by to be corrected. But, for example, I have a business located on Cheyenne River, and the tax agreements are only apply to the businesses within the reservation boundaries. Is that correct? So anything located, Cheyenne River is essentially Dewey and Zeebot County, so any business that collects those taxes on Cheyenne River, this agreement will then state that approximately 76 to 78% of the 4% that is collected on those reservations, 76% of the 4% will come back to Cheyenne River Reservation. Does that make sense?
Mr. Chairman, if I could expound on that and perhaps help. You're exactly correct. The first one is the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Tax Collection Agreement. It covers the Indian country controlled by the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, so to speak, in Dewey and Zeebot counties. And the moral of the story is that if you are a retailer making a sales taxable sale, and it doesn't matter if the retailer is a enrolled tribal member, the tribe, or a non-member, we capture all of that sales tax from all sellers, and what we do is we, for lack of a better term, we put it into a big pot, and we divide the income according to the percentage split in our tax collection agreement. And the reason we do that is it's much more efficient for the tribe and the state to make a division in that fashion, because we do not have the manpower to try to sit by every transaction and figure out the application of the Indian law rules on how to figure out who can tax in what instance, because they are quite complicated. So it's a benefit to the state, the tribe, and the folks selling and the folks buying. And you're correct, I think on the Cheyenne River, the percentage split is roughly about 78% of the tax collection agreement funds go to the particular tribe there.
Mm-hmm.
But it varies depending on the tribe and the different factors involved.
And just a further comment, prior to these agreements taking place, the burden of proof was on the retailer. So you have a tribal member walk in and say, I'm a tribal member. You'd essentially have to ask that individual for his tribal identification card, have him fill out a tax exemption form, and then keep that on record. So every time he came into your place of business, you would not be able to charge him sales tax. And then, of course, all the rules that apply when you fill out that as to who wasn't taxed, and it's just a paperwork nightmare. This way, when an individual walks into your place of business, you charge tax to everyone, and then the state sorts it out through their agreements. So from a retailer standpoint, it helps a lot. So, any further? Does anyone else have any questions? All right.
Okay.
With that, is there anything else to come before the Senate Tax Committee today? We have two bills on Friday, and those will be posted here shortly. And other than that, we haven't been assigned anything else. So, as of Friday, we may be done for the year. So, do I have a motion to adjourn? Motion by Welke, second by Ewing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you, members.